Go ahead and take your Bibles this morning to the book. We're going to start in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 25. We're going to start there because we're going to be going to try to do something a little bit different this morning. I'm going to try to go to a number of passages of scriptures, establish a principle, and I'm hoping in the end it will all make sense. Normally it does because they always agree with one another anyway because it's the Bible. But it's a little bit of a unique probably perspective for Mother's Day, but it's what the Lord laid upon my heart, and I know it's what we're supposed to be preaching about. The title would not be unfamiliar, because in the past we've looked at this thought, and tonight we might continue, because more than likely this is going to kind of trend over to tonight's message, is fighting for your family. But then we're going to add a little bit extra to it, because if you go back a number of years ago, it was the idea of fighting for your family, but two more words, God's way. Fighting for your family, God's way. The book of Nehemiah, chapter number 4, there, and we're going to probably look at a little bit. I don't think we're going to get all the way back to Nehemiah today, at least not this morning, but there's a problem. Nehemiah has a burden, like many of us have a burden for our families, and he has a burden, and he fights for it God's way. So what do you mean? He hears about the burden, he begins to pray, he begins to fast, he goes to the point that he makes himself available to God, he listens to God's speaking, and in chapter number 2, he goes and sees the burden for himself, and then God speaks to the heart, and he leads a group to build the wall in Jerusalem, and it needed to be built. But he faced, like many times we do when we feel families, he faced much criticism, he faced much enemy, he faced all types of things, and he was trying to get to a spot that he was just trying to do what he thought was right. And in Nehemiah chapter number 4, the enemy was mocking him, the enemy was laughing at him, the enemy was critiquing him and threatening battle. So Nehemiah encourages them. He says, fight for your families. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, "And I looked and I rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses." And we're going to come back to that more than likely tonight. But you get the thought there. There was a problem. There was a need. And he said, fight for your families. He says, remember the Lord God, which is great and terrible. So he doesn't say, just go fight any certain way. He says, remember God when you're fighting. And so today I'd like to look at some principles and lay some foundational truths that when we help our families and when we fight for our families, we need to make sure we're doing it God's way. Because I've seen people fight for the children. You ever watch those people that act badly, parents that act badly at sporting events? I helped coach basketball for a little while. I was involved with athletics growing up. And sometimes kids have a bad attitude, obviously, but sometimes parents have a bad attitude where you even see nowadays they're getting fights with referees and, you know, all types of other people. They're fighting a battle, but they're fighting it the wrong way. And I want to encourage you this morning as we look at some different things, so there's some foundational principles that are going to help us to learn how to fight the right way. We even consider some people that are passionate about certain things, and you even see sometimes people protest, and I think you should be able to peacefully protest. That's, you know, that's one of our rights. But when people start looting and people start destroying property and start evading other people's houses, they're fighting for a cause, but what are they doing? They're fighting for it the wrong way. Even now when they're talking about sending Roe versus Wade and overturning the law on a national thing and bringing it back to the states, and that's a good step in the right direction. Praise the Lord for that. But, you know, they're trying to intimidate people. They've leaked that document. They're fighting for their cause, but they're fighting for it in an illegal way, and then they're trying to intimidate people. You better listen to us or there's going to be a punishment to pay if you don't listen to me. What are they doing? They're fighting things. And they're fighting for what they believe in, but they're fighting the wrong way. And we got to get this right with our families. Now, and I'm not just talking about family here. I'm talking about church family, too, is we got to make sure, because I know not everybody's a mother, not everyone's a father in the room, but these are principles that are going to work for all of us. And they're wonderful principles that can hit home and hit hard. And anytime you hear me preach hard, I preached it myself first. It's gone through me first and foremost. In the last couple Sundays, there's been a lot of things that we've discussed and preached and looked at things hard. And it's, like I said, it goes through me first. And these are some things that help me understand that we're all going to have battles. We're all going to have fights. We're all going to have hard times. We're all going to have things we come up against. But how are we going to fight against them? What is it that we're going to do? And obviously, with it being Mother's Day, I think the Lord laid upon my heart about fighting for your family. But add that last phrase, God's way. Because I've seen people, and I've seen people willing to fight. You better not mess with somebody's kids. Because you mess with somebody's kids, they're coming. Their mom and dad's coming after them. Then grandma and grandpa's coming. And then brother and sister's coming. And I get that. I understand that. But if we act fleshly when we fight, is God going to bless? When we act according to our desires and not God's desires, is God going to be able to work? And what testimony are we leaving to those people that are struggling? And what testimony are we leaving for our kids as they watch us act fleshly? And sometimes people wonder, I don't know why my kid turned out that way. I don't know why they did this or why they did that. And they learned it many times from the person that's saying those exact words. And don't get me wrong, no parent is perfect. I am far from perfect, even in my parenting skills. When I see my son say certain things, it makes me want to shake him. Not because it was bad, it's because that's what I made a mistake doing. That's the way I would do that, and I wish I didn't look at it that way. I wish I didn't have that perspective. There are a lot of things that they do in the right way, and that's, like I said, by the grace of God, and God helped them with a lot of people here at our church and raising them in church and all those other things. I understand all that. But how are we going to fight God's way? And the first thing I want you to look at, and we're going to look at a couple verses in the book of Proverbs, and then we're going to head over to Hebrews. And then if we have time, we're going to look at the Word of God, because the Word of God is what really helps us and makes a difference. And then if we have time, we're going to go all the way back to Nehemiah. But like I said, I think Nehemiah is going to be tonight. And it's such a fantastic book of the Bible. I don't want to try to rush through any of this. I also want to make sure the point gets across and gets across clearly and very, very vividly. Okay, Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Let's read that all together. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now, I think this picture is very intriguing. It's a city that is broken down without walls is open to what? It's open to attack. It's very vulnerable to the enemy. It's very easily destroyed. And Scripture tells us that if we do not accept the responsibility of our own spirit being right, we are openly leaving ourselves equally attacked by the enemy. If we can control our own spirit, we're making ourselves very, very vulnerable to the enemy. And so how does that apply to our life? I think it's pretty easy when we apply to those that are around us. If we can't control our own spirit, we're making ourselves vulnerable to the enemy attacking us. And when the enemy attacks us and we do not have a defense, you know what's going to happen? We're going to be destroyed. And we pass that down to other people. We include that inside of our church family. When we can't control our own spirits, we become vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. And not only that, we become vulnerable because we influence the people that are around us. We influence our children, our grandchildren. We influence our parents, but we also influence our church family. So it's important that we take stock in our own responsibility. How is my spirit today? Think about it. Our spirit can be attacked by many different avenues. First and foremost, we consider the enemy that has been recognized by God as the enemy, as the devil. He sees our weaknesses. He knows what we struggle with. He knows when we want to gossip. He knows when we want to get ticked off and be angry. He knows when we try to manipulate people. He knows all those things because he watches us, or at least his demons watch us. He knows many of the areas that we struggle with, and he doesn't play fair. He feeds on those things that are weak, that we're weak at. The Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly. If we do things our way and we don't keep our spirit in check and we don't do things a scriptural way, we leave ourselves vulnerable to something that is a thief that tries to rob and destroy and to kill our lives. And we make ourselves vulnerable to all those that are around us. And we end up making wrong decisions. But Jesus says, if you do things my way, and that if you do things and you have control of your spirit and you live for me, that you will then have life and life more abundant. That's the life I want. That's the life I want to express to my family. That's the life I want to express to our church family. But there's one way to do it. It's controlling our spirit. If I don't control my spirit, I make myself very vulnerable. And because of my flesh, I'm going to want to sit there. I'm still going to want to preach and teach because I don't want to admit what I'm doing wrong. I still want to be the leader of my house, and I still want to make decisions. But if I'm not controlling my spirit, you know what's happening? I'm letting the walls down. I'm letting the devil have free reign, and he's helping me make my decisions instead of depending on the Lord and allowing God to make my decisions and letting God lead me and letting God trust me. He says here, and it's if you have no rule over your own spirit, you got the wrong perspective. Not only does it speak about having the wrong perspective, you have the wrong perception. Not only do you have the wrong perception and the wrong perspective, it's going to affect your potential too. Think about it. When we are weak and when we are letting the enemy attack and doing all those different things, and the devil is reigning and ruling in our lives because we have allowed ourselves, because we're not willing to control our own spirits and be willing to take our own selves in the way that we act and the way that we behave and cause ourselves to feel like, hey, these are things I need to work on and these are things I need to change. You know what happens? It changes the way we look at things. Many times, because of the unhappiness within us, we're going to have a very negative vein. We're going to have a very negative worldview. We're not going to have a biblical worldview like we've been talking about in the last few weeks. Blessed is the man, meaning happy is the man, or the person that God can bless. That's the person that God's going to use. That's the person we want to influence our kids, the person who can control their spirit. That's the person we want to influence our church family. But when we have unhappiness within us, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be negative. And without us even knowing, we're going to walk around and we're going to let our negativity be able to control other people. And we're going to start saying things that we don't really consider to be gossip. But you know what? It's going to be gossip because you're not going to the right person. And you're going to start complaining and you're going to start doing this and you're going to start doing that. And it's going to have the wrong perception. And when you have that wrong perception, the next thing is you're going to have the wrong perspective. There's a little difference between perception and perspective. When we have a bad spirit, we don't see things in perspective. All our troubles become maximized. All our problems become so huge. How am I ever going to deal with that? And all our blessings become so minimized. You think about it. If you have a good marriage and you have sweet children, you have a loving church family, you have material provision, not to mention eternal salvation and an unchangeable book and an indwelling presence of spirit, of the help of the Holy Spirit. You know what? We have so much more than the rest of this world does. And then... But so many times our perspective is, well, this is the problem, and this is the problem. And yeah, there is problems, and there always is going to be problems, and we're going to have to fix that. That's why we got to fight for that. But we got to have the right spirit when we do that. We got to have the right spirit so we can have the right perception and so we can have the right perspective. Most of us are far more blessed in our lives than the burdens that we carry. But a scriptural or spiritually minded person will take a problem and try to minimize it. But a person that's carnal, a person that's not controlling their own spirit, let's blow it up. And as we blow it up, who cares who gets hurt? And many times it's our families that get hurt, or our children that get hurt, or our church family that gets hurt. And then you think about it. If we got the wrong perception, the wrong perspective, our potential is just out the wall. It goes out the door. Why is that? It's because our potential is found in this. Our potential is found in God. Our potential is found in Jesus Christ. It's not found in any of us. It's God working through us. And if God's using us, and if our spirit is wrong, then you know what's going to happen? Our potential is very, very weak. People with a bad spirit can accomplish very little for God. We become unattractive to others. We lack faith. We find ourselves in a very critical mode and a very critical spirit. And what happens then? We have let our walls be torn down and the enemies invade it. And you see carnage all around us. If you look around the world today, there is a lot of carnage out there. A lot of people that are hurt and a lot of places and a lot of even kids and teenagers and young adults that are struggling because of the fact they need someone who has a right spirit. They need someone who's godly, someone who's spirit-filled, someone who's there and helping them. And we fail them when we don't control our own spirits. Let's go back to Proverbs 16. Say, Pastor, I can't do it. Pastor, I'm not anything special. There's no way I can change the world. There's no way I can do this for my family. There's no way I can do this or that. You know what? It's not about us. It's about what God can do through us. Look what it says in Proverbs 16. Look what it says in verse 32. I like this verse. It says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Now, look at this again. So once again, slow to anger, talking about a person who can control his spirit, not a person who's going to get ticked off at the right thing and get mad. And so many times people who are quiet just doesn't mean that you're loud. People that are silently angry is something that's even more challenging than it is someone that is loud and obnoxious, because you look at them and say, well, they got a problem. It's the other people. He says, he that is slow to anger, look at this, is better than the mighty. One thing I struggle with is I'm not super strong. Once again, I'd like to get more strength, and there's different reasons and different, I'm not one of those guys who's going to pick up and carry something 100 feet. And I watch Brother Joe. Sometimes he's been helping with the renovation. He just, hey, need some help with that? He just picks it up and moves it and carries it. And I'm thankful for that, because when I'm asking if he really wants help, I don't really want to help him carry the other half of it, because I really think it'd probably be easier for him to carry it by himself, but I don't want to seem like I'm helping. And many times he's like, yep, I got it, and just picks it up and takes it wherever it's at. And I'm thankful for strong people like that. That's not one of my gifts, when I pick up things. But you look at this verse, it's saying that if we are able to control our own spirit, slow to anger is better than the mighty. And then it continues on, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Now, we've noticed a lot of people in our times that people have taken over cities. You think about warriors and captains and leaders. But how many of us know that many times the emperors that can conquer a city, they're not the smartest up top. They're not someone who can control their spirit. They're not someone who's going to make a difference and make you better in a sense as an individual. But they're saying a person who can control their spirit, you have more value than a person that can take a city. We would look at some people that can take over a city and say, you know what? And many times they're a genius. I understand that they're very intelligent, but they can do this and they can do that. But the Bible's saying that if you learn how to control your own spirit, God can use you just even greater than a guy who can take over his own city. And we might think it's pretty cool to own our own city. I don't know. But I guess there's a chance somebody else might take it over. Somebody else stronger might come. Somebody else this or that. Do you control your own spirit? God is saying, that is the person I can bless. That's the person I can use. That's the person that we need in leadership of our homes. A person who controls their own spirit. And I know you say, well, mom's not the leader of the home. I get that. But we got to remember, the mom influences dad a lot. And it is really, really hard for a husband to try to stand and do what's right when the wife is not controlling their own spirit. And it's really hard for a wife, and I've seen it happen so many times, to try to control their spirit and do right when the husband isn't doing what's right. What we need, if we're going to fight for our families God's way, we need people who are going to control their own spirit, because God says, I can take that person and I can accomplish something great through that person, of a person who can rule their own spirit. Okay, let's go to Hebrews now. Hebrews chapter number 5. You say, okay, Pastor, I get it. I see it. It's about my spirit. But why is it so important that I control my spirit? And here's the thought. It's because our kids need us to be discerning for them. Our kids need us to be discerning for them. Our children need us. Our young people need us. As a church congregation, as part of a church family, they need some people who can control their spirits and some people that God is using, so we can be discerning for them for what is right and what's wrong. I don't know. 20 years ago, I would say, you know, most parents are going to let their 5-year-old choose what they want for breakfast. But nowadays, lots of times, people say, oh, go get whatever you want. Now, and then I guess we can clarify this. Most parents are not going to let their 5-year-old eat candy for breakfast, right? Wouldn't we agree with that? I mean, I know some parents nowadays have gone out there a little bit and their discernment's a little bit lacking, but most parents aren't going to let their kids eat candy for breakfast or drink Mountain Dew for breakfast or put Mountain Dew inside a baby's bottle. It happens. And like I said, things have changed and times have changed, and the discernment of some people just seems like it's... So why won't you let your 5-year-old pick what type of candy they want for breakfast? is because they have not learned and they have not matured enough to understand their diet and their health needs. They have not come to a spot where they have learned enough to understand this is what's good for me and this is what's wrong for me, because they're still letting their spirit control them and their flesh control them. They're still making decisions based off what their friends do. They're still making decisions based off of what their friends say they should do or what they've seen on TV. I mean, the latest fashions and this and that. And that's what we see, is a whole world of people that are just falling for the wrong things, and the sermon is just right out the window. And that's why we don't let our kids choose whether or not they want to brush their teeth. As a child, I probably didn't want to brush my teeth. I remember not wanting to brush my teeth. You know what? Mom made me brush my teeth. Was that because she was a horrible mom? No, it's because she was a good mom. She understood. I'm going to be the one paying your dental bill, so you're going to get in there and you're going to brush your teeth. And I still got cavities, so whatever. But there is a discernment that comes along with this, and they don't have the knowledge, and they don't have the proper make decisions. They don't have the opportunity. Yes, I know as they get older, and this is a struggle as they get older, as my sons get to be 20 and 22 and 23, as they look at those ages, they're making decisions for themselves. And as a parent, sometimes I have to step back and say, man, I like to tell them what to do, and I like to make them. But no, those years were over here. Those were the years I had them in my house and under my authority, and they still listen, and they still respect, and they still don't give me a hard time, but they still have conversations. And I look at them, and I say, I know that there are some decisions that they're going to make, because now they have knowledge, and now they have they've learned things, and they understand things. I don't have to tell them to brush your teeth. I don't have to. Well, I have to tell them not to drink Mountain Dew for breakfast, but I don't have to tell them to do, because they've learned those things. Our children need to learn those things from someone who is discerning. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter number 5. Look what it says in verse number 12. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. These verses are really powerful if you take the time to think and consider this. They're saying a person that is not learning the word of God is not going to be able to discern what is good and what is evil. It's not me saying it. It's right here. And then you see this here. For the time ye ought to be teachers. I've been saved almost 40 years now. Praise the Lord. It was April 8th or 9th. It was either when I was 8 years old or 9 years old. And I'm 48 now. So I'm saying it's been 40 years I've been saved. After 40 years of studying the Bible, you should be able to be a teacher, right? You should be able to. There's a lot of 40-year-olds that can't teach. There's been times in my life when I've been saved 20, 30 years that I shouldn't teach because I wasn't controlling my spirit. I was not discerning the word of God properly. This is where we learn what's right, and this is where we learn what's wrong. Anything that's good, anything that is right, it comes from the character of God. And in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And when we look at things and we boil everything down, moral compass that has been thrown out in our government, that's been thrown out in our nation, should boil down to what does the Bible say? And that's what they're saying. There's a time when you ought to be a teacher. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand parents, and sometimes they're young and they're new. I didn't know everything growing up. When my kids were growing up, I still don't know everything. I'm still learning, but I should be able to discern what is right and wrong for my child, because God has given me a child, so I ought to be a teacher at least to them. I should be able to teach them what is right and what is wrong. I should be able to be discerning what is right and what's wrong. But my problem is, if I can't control my spirit, I can't do that. When I can't control who I am, then you know what's happening? My walls have come down, the city's wide open, and I'm willing to listen to anybody. I'm willing to listen to anybody's opinion. And if you're listening to people's opinions that are gossiping, and people's opinions that are angry easily and making something big out of something that's small, their walls are down. And if you're listening to those opinions, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to be able to discern what is good and what is evil. And it's so important the day and time that we live in. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. I gave the example on Wednesday night. If you're trying to learn a process, trying how to do something, I used the illustration of changing oil. And I had somebody try to teach me change oil one time. He only taught me once. Afterwards, he told me, I'll change your oil for you, or have somebody else change it, just because it didn't work. And there's step one, there's step two, there's step three, there's step four. I learned something that I can't go to step three until I learn step one and step two. And if we're not learning what God is trying to teach us step one, that means we have to continue on being taught that over and over. And what the scripture is saying is that person that does that is unskillful. In verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And we know that babies should not be teaching other babies what to do. Now, they do sometimes. Sometimes back there, you hear in nursery, there's kids are being quiet. And then you get one kid in there that's being a little rambunctious. And you know what happens? They all get rambunctious. Why is it? They're learning, hey, I can do this, and I'm not going to get in trouble. They're babies. And that's what God is saying. We want people who can teach others also. And when you ought to be a teacher, and I know that not everybody is in the same spot in their Christian life, and not everybody's going to be super Christian, and not everybody's been saved for 40 years, and sometimes you've only been saved for 10 years or 20 years. But if we're learning what God is teaching us, not having to be taught the same thing, and we're applying it to our life, we can be discerning. Why is that? Because our senses, if you look at the end of verse 14, and it says, who by reason of uses have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Meaning that God will give us discernment as we're learning the Word of God, and as we're applying the Word of God, and as we're living by the Word of God, God will give us discernment what is right and what is wrong. And the challenge that happens is we're not learning what He's teaching us. Because we don't learn what He teaches us, we don't control our spirit many times. And when we don't control our spirit, the walls have come down. The enemy's attacking, and we're making decisions and rash decisions, and we don't really know what's the difference between what is biblical and unbiblical. Because I know what people are going to say. I know what's right, and I know what's wrong. Scripture's saying you're not going to be able to discern what is good and what is evil. You're not going to be able to look at things, what God desires for you and what God does not desire for you, because you're not learning those things that God wanted you to know to begin with. It's about the Word of God. So let's look at this a little bit. But parents ought to be teachers. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. It's theirs. Train up. And I'm not just applying that to parents today. I'm applying that to all of us. Because if I look across the room, there's not a lot of people that are new Christians. There's not a lot of people that have not been saved for many years. And if we have not grown in our Christian life and we're still a babe in Christ, and here's the reason, is because we have to be taught those first principles of the oracles of God again and again. Because people that do not learn, they're still in need of milk. They just don't know how to discern it. And because of that, many times you see their spirit. Their spirit is not something that they control. So let's give a lesson in a sense about the Word of God, because I think this is the key. So if we fight God's way, it's not a fleshly way. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after our flesh. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You say, I really need to fight for my kids. I really see a danger ahead. I see those things. So how do we fight for them? We pray for them. We know the Bible. We see that controlling our own spirit is a big part of what God can keep us strong. And that way our spirit is going to be better than that person that can take a city. And we learn here, if we're learning what God is teaching us, He's going to give us the exercise to discern both the good and the evil. We ought to be teachers. We ought to be someone that can teach someone else. Our kids learn from us. Sometimes they learn bad things, and sometimes they learn good things. So let's go through a Bible lesson real quick about the Bible. First thing I want you to think about is it's about the Word of God. The Bible is profitable. We're not going to have you turn to all the scriptures, but if you want to write them down and get look them up later. They're all good, and they're all things that are familiar to you. But for sake of time, we're just going to kind of go through these. The Bible's profitable. The Bible says all Scripture, that word all means all of it, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, which means this is what you should believe, for reproof, this is what you're doing wrong, for correction, this is how to get it right, and for instruction in righteousness, this is how to keep it right. So if they're saying these are things that we should be learning the first time, the first principles of the oracles of God, we learn that the Bible is profitable. The next thing we learn is the Bible nourishes your spiritual growth. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So it's the idea here that the Bible, it's profitable for you. It is something that's going to help you. You read it, you learn of it, you grow from it. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to become someone who can discern from right and wrong. You're going to be able to help lead your family. If you're not in your Bible, you're not able to be a teacher. You're not going to teach them what they need to learn, because you have to learn some of the first oracles, which is you should be in your Bible. We're not going to be able to teach your kids what they need to learn if we're not in the Word of God. It's just the reality. Secondly, and you say, well, I can teach my kids, and you are going to teach them, but what are you teaching them? They're going to turn out okay. They might turn out okay, but they're not going to turn out as good as they could because the Bible's profitable for us. It teaches us what to believe and where we do wrong and how to get it right and stay right. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. So what do you need? We need the word of God to help us grow. The Bible teaches us that as we learn the word of God, we will be growing as a Christian, we'll be growing as a believer. We're not going to be someone who always needs milk, but instead we'll be someone who can also use meat. We should read it daily. The Bible says that. These are first oracles. If we want to discern what's right and wrong, what's going to help us as a family, what's going to help us help mothers, read the Bible daily. Job himself said, he says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more necessary than food. He looked at his life and he said, okay, I understand if I don't eat, I'm going to die. He looks at the word of God and he says, if I don't get the word of God in me, I'm going to die spiritually. Now, I know we're not talking about losing your salvation. I'm not saying that. But spiritually, we're going to be weak, we're going to be anemic, and it's saying we're not going to be able to discern what is right and wrong between good and evil. We need the Word of God to give us nourishment, and we need it every day. We need to hear it consistently. What do you mean hear it consistently? You need to hear preaching. Why is that? The Bible says, forsake not the assembly. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing by the Word of God. We need to meditate on it. If you want to be successful as a church family, as an individual family, there is one thing in the Bible that says that you'll be successful. That's Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The word success, I believe, is the only spot in all the Bible it's found. I want my family to be successful. Here it is. We read the Bible. We read it daily. We use it to nourish us and grow us. We hear it consistently. We meditate on it. We study it regularly. Study to show thyself approved. It's a diligent thing. We apply it to our lives. I have met a ton of people who know so much about the Bible, but they don't apply it. Know what they are? The same thing here. This is something that is the first oracles. It's the idea that they can't control their spirit because of the fact that they have all this up here, but they never applied it to their own life. They want everybody else to do it, but not them. You know what? The Bible says, if you're that type of person, it's as a person. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth the manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. It says it right there. If you look in the Bible and you don't apply it, there's no sense. It's like looking in the mirror and seeing that your hair is messed up and not fixing it. It's like seeing that there's a blemish and say, oh, I'm fine. Seeing that there's something wrong with your clothes and just, oh, who cares? But when you look into the Word of God, and if you just know it and don't apply it, you're going to be someone who's not going to be able to discern both good and evil. What God wants to do, His plan is transformation. He wants to transform us as Christians. He wants that change to happen from the inside out. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He's saying, look, you can know what God's will is for yourself and your church family and your own family if you will allow the Word of God to transform you. Don't be conformed to the things of this world. Don't listen to people that are acting worldly. Don't let the TV decide what you should do and what you should wear. Don't let the world decide. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. He's saying, I want to take you and I want to change you from the inside out. And sometimes we want our kids to change, but it's got to be an inside out change, because if not, it's not going to last. Not only that, he understanding the Bible increases your knowledge of God. It's not just knowing it, it's understanding, but growing grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. It is the increase of our knowledge is one thing, but seeking our understanding. And I know we went through this a lot with knowing and understanding the will of God, and we'll keep on bringing it up. Psalms 119 really helped me understand that David still had in the last 8 verses, looks back and says, I got to be right with you, God. If you didn't hear Wednesday night's message, I encourage you to go back. He was saying, God, hear my prayers. We all know that God hears our prayers, but the psalmist who has just said in 160-some verses how much he loves the Bible, he says, God, I need understanding. He says, because at the last verse, he says, because I've gone astray. He says, I know that I want you to hear my prayers. I want to make sure I'm right, and I'm going to make sure I'm right, because if I'm not right, then you've said that you're not going to hear my prayers. You've said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God won't hear us. And the psalmist is saying, Lord, hear my cry. And he says, Lord, give me understanding. He wants to know, because down here, no matter if it's David, and he has just said, I know so much about the Bible. I love the Bible. I've chosen to follow the Bible. It's my heart. It's my passion. It's everything to me. But I know I've gone astray. I know there's times when I go astray. And he says, I need you to hear my prayers. I need to be right. And we need to be right so we can fight for our families. Do we really want, we know that we need our prayers answered. We know what we need are the prayers are for discerning. Obeying the Bible produces a Christ-like maturity. Obeying the Bible produces a Christ-like maturity. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the image, glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So as we behold the Word of God and we allow Him to change us to become more like Him, no longer are we babes. There are people that are babes. Babes don't understand basic things. Little kids, why has it got to be this way? Or why is this? Or why is that? I think we should do this. I think it's the idea that as we understand and we obey the Scriptures, we apply them to our life, it will then produce the spiritual discernment that's talked about here in verses 13 and 14. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. So, Pastor, I'm a new Christian. I must be using milk. If you're learning the things that God has given you and you are applying them to your heart, He is telling you that you're going to be able to discern what is right and wrong. Doesn't mean you have to be saved for 5 years to be able to hear from God. That's foolishness. It means that He'll lead and guide you because you're listening and you're applying and you're using the Word of God the way that it's intended to be. This morning, obeying the Bible will produce a Christ-like maturity. Continued use of the Bible produces spiritual discernment. Many times when I see somebody struggling, I'll look at them and I won't look at them, but I'll say, that person's struggling. They need some help. There is some place somewhere that they've disconnected themselves. When I see a person's spirit that is struggling, and I see it happen. See it happen with kids, a parent. Boy, they're sweet and kind. You say something about their kid, man, it's on. You say something about their church, they can get upset. You say something about their mate, and I know it's not popular when people like to talk about mama bear and they're protecting their cubs. I get that. But if it's a person that cannot control their own spirit, you know what that is? It's a person that's broken down. It's a city that's broken down without walls. And yes, we're supposed to protect our kids, but how can we protect our kids when we can't protect ourselves. He that have no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. How can I protect those that God's given me when I can't protect myself because I can't control my own spirit? So there's a challenge that goes along here to understand. And the Bible even says in Proverbs, it even talks about he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. I want to encourage you this morning. Consider, how do you do with your spirit? And I know there's been times when I have to look at myself. I don't want to become angry. I don't want to become mad. I don't want to become jealous. I want to control my spirit. I want to have the right discernment. I do. I want to live for the Lord, and I want to do what's right. And when I have a bad spirit, I'm going to have a bad perspective. When I have the wrong spirit, and the spirit, you know what's going to happen? This perspective's going to be bad. The perception's going to be bad. And my potential then ends. I want to encourage you this morning. Fight for your family. You should. You should be one who's going to protect. You should want to keep the world out. You want to keep bad testimonies out. And I've heard our parents talk about that. I don't want this and I don't want that. There's a right way to do it, though. And you meet, it comes the inside your own house. You've got to be careful that you're protecting them from the wickedness that's outside. You don't want to let it. You don't want to invite it in through the TV. You don't want to invite it in through the radio. You don't want to invite it in through friends. You want to make sure you protect your child. But the best way you're going to be able to protect them is by controlling your own spirit. Because if you don't control your own spirit, you're like a city that's broken down and without walls. The city that is broken down and without walls. You have allowed yourself open for much attack. You say, I'm a good parent. I'm sure you are. I'm sure you try really hard. But scripturally, it says that you're weak when it comes to being able to be a discerning what's right. Our kids need discernment. In the day and time that we live at, when there's so many choices and so many opportunities, our children need someone who's going to be discerning and say, I want to do what's right. I need to hear from the Lord. I need to make these decisions based off what God's word says. We need to be someone that is able to fight for their family. But you have to be able to stand for yourself before you're ever going to be able to fight for your family. Let's pray.